Every day I'm shuffling.
How's it going, you sick, twisted freaks? This is Static. Welcome to UO Insider, your UO news podcast. As many of you noticed, we've kind of changed our name to UO Insider. It's just the name that I'm going to take on. I think it's cooler, a little bit more edgier. Try to get the inside of things. No, I'm just joking. Hey, welcome back. Episode 4. So again, another big week in store. UOHerald.com is covering tons of news with their new patch and some other news on bugs this week. UOStratix and UOForms also have tons of new headlines coming out, so it's pretty great seeing all those articles. But also this week, we are bringing back the gaming section of the UO Insider podcast. We're going to talk about MMO games, and we're also going to talk about just console gaming news. So let's get to the news desk. So this week in the news at UO.com, they have a few articles up, first being from Vincent Hatcher. It's a fiction article that they're trying to set up for the new in-game fiction. Bonnie talked about that in the developer Q&A. So it's a pretty little interesting article. It's pretty long. I would read it all, but I don't want to bore you guys. So let's move on. Talents of Sessoria, they're talking about UO players being talented, which isn't all that true, because there's only like three or four things up. It just shows you that sometimes UO players do not want to step forward and do stuff. I don't know why. But there's a few cool little artist renderings. I think there's some 3D rendering and just like one drawing of a picture. So it looks pretty good. You guys can check it out on the Facebook album. Also, Ultima Forever website is now officially released. There was a player talking about it, talking about how EA is registering new domains. That's one of them. It just covers some of the games that they've covered for now for three decades, so it's pretty huge. Also published, 70.4 came out. Talks again about Rustic and Gothic packs, some bug fixes, such as that players are no longer to steal from EMs and Felusa. Ominous should definitely know about that one. Enhanced Client saw a few updates, and so did the client, Classic Client. That pretty much covers everything at UO.com this week. UOStratix.com, they have a few videos up on their news site. The Lake Superior games, or the archery games, rather, and then Baja 2011 Spring Festival, some pretty fun videos. You guys can check them out. Baja this week has a few news articles, one being from Ian Seppo, Monday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11:30. There's a Council of Citizens, so it's pretty exciting. Bok, the guild, B-O-K, is having the inaugural Chicken Club fight, so pretty exciting there. Chesapeake is having EMs. They posted up their EM events for the month. Defratuals is having a summer market. Great Lakes, again, is having this Jeffrey Dahmer May obituary column. It's pretty frightening. Again, this player is posting up stuff. So you guys can check out that and look at all these players that are dead. It's kind of creepy. I don't get into that. June 3rd, that's passed, but the GFO holds another auction. So again, some decent-sized events happening in Great Lakes. Napa, House Deco Contest. So pretty exciting there, especially if you guys like the House Deco. So over at UOForums.com, on their heated discussions board, they're talking about game time for UO Gold, other ways for free-to-play, which is pretty interesting little comment section that we've seen. And then, you know, they're definitely talking about cheating, and then just some other really good articles on UOForums.com. So with that, ending UO news, we're going to head over to the gaming desk, where we're going to talk about MMO news and gaming news. So this week in MMO news, Age of Conan released that it's going free-to-play. Some pretty interesting articles on G4TV.com about it, and why it isn't the sign of AOC's failing. It's a pretty good game, actually. Well, it's a WoW-ish remake. It still has some pretty good ideas inside the game. Aion, A-I-O-N, is just did a brand new live update, and they also released a new free trial program. It's a decent game. Again, it's something that I've kind of walked through. There's an exclusive walkthrough of the newest dungeon inside the trial, so it's pretty fun. Atari just announced today that it actually cut Cryptic Studios. Cryptic has done a few games out there, but nothing major. Another company's already picked them up. EverQuest is out there again. They've seen tons of revitalization of that game. New dungeons, raids, and solo content. It's pretty amazing how much they can actually pump out there. And then again this week, you know, some big news in the E3 world. Some new type games coming out. Something I'll cover next week on the podcast. So look forward to that. Also, Minecraft this week released like 9 different patches, which is pretty annoying. If you guys play Minecraft, you understand that mods are really important. Notch has done a pretty decent job of adding in things into the game, so that's been pretty interesting nonetheless. In the console world, the Wii 2 touchscreen controller has been confirmed. They're going to talk about it at E3 coming up next week. Also, Call of Duty is taking applications for closed beta on all consoles and PC. And then the Elite benefits were detailed. Blizzard this week hired a PlayStation 3 specialist for Diablo 3. It's going to be a key contributor, so it should be pretty interesting. Maybe we would even see a Diablo 3 on the PlayStation. Xbox Live is getting Diamond TV service. They're going to talk about it at E3. And then the PlayStation Network is obviously still talking about the free content after their huge hacking issue. L.A. Noire is having, again, huge success. And then a big game that's coming up on the consoles this year. Obviously, you have your regular Call of Duty and Battlefield, but Hitman 5 is coming out. They're going to show some awesome videos there. So it should be pretty interesting to see what happens. Again this week, another big UO interview coming to us directly live. So we are joined by Chad Sextington from Napa Valley, or better known as UO Thief. Chad, welcome.
And also Siege Perilous.
Yeah, and Siege, I'm very sorry.
No, that's
well, Siege is truly your home now.
Well, I ended my career in UO on Siege Perilous, but Napa Valley always still has a warm place in my heart, so I don't mind being associated with it.
So let's jump into this. What is UO Thief?
UO Thief, that's a good question. To answer that question, you really have to talk about the history of it, because it has kind of changed over the years, over the 5 years it's been in existence. Excuse me as I trip over my words. It started off as a personal website for me to have a place to host some of the screenshots and stories that I told. And then over time, the guild in-game on Napa Valley got bigger and bigger. So the website kind of grew into a guild website where me and mostly my guild mates could also post their own stories. And then over time, maybe after I got to Siege in 2009, I believe, it slowly turned into a community website for all thieves when I started getting a lot of episodes from people who weren't in my guild. So when that happened, I started streamlining the guild, the website, and removing a lot of things that were specific to me and the guild and kind of making it for everyone, including the fact that was added, which has a lot of great information for all thieves.
So you said that you don't play anymore. Is there a certain reason in-game that you don't play anymore, or is it more real-life side?
It's 100% real life. if I had it my way, I would play Ultima until EA shut it down. I mean, I love Ultima Online. But, I mean, you know, things happen in real life. Some really great opportunities happen for me, and I just can't, I can't do both at the same time.
Do you ever see yourself returning back to Ultima Online? I mean, before it's dead?
Well, okay, my account is still up, right? I still pay for my account. I could log in whenever I want to. I just don't, and I don't plan on doing it. I think they may be holding houses and have a lot of stuff inside. I just don't want it to fall and decay. But I have no plans on coming back to it. I would like to, but I have no plans for it.
So as a UO thief, obviously you've read the boards and you've played in-game as a thief. What's your thief style, per se? Because there's definitely, you know, two defined styles of thieving.
I would say there are even more than that, but I know which two you're talking about. There's two main ones. Okay.
Correct.
Well, okay, for me, see, there's different ways I would define it. Number one, I usually, almost exclusively, only steal in Felucca and or Siege Perilous. And number two, I think any chance for me to use the words thee or thou in-game is hilarious, right? I'm not a hardcore RPer. I've never been in Ultima or wherever else. But I just think it's hilarious to be able to use that in-game in character.
I think one of the classic lines that I took from you was your GP or your HP.
You know, you know where that comes from, right?
No.
It used to be my old SIG on Stratix. That comes from an early episode of a webcomic from nuclearpower.com. It's called 8-Bit Theater. This artist, I don't know if you call him an artist, but he took the sprites from the original Final Fantasy I. And he had, I guess it was like a bi-weekly webcomic with those characters. And the thief character of Final Fantasy I jumps out of the bushes with a knife in his hand, a sword, and he trips this mage that was running by, and he tells him, you know, your GP or your HP. And then the mage on the ground is like, has a thought bubble above his head saying, wow, that's so lame. So I took it.
So with Siege, obviously, you've been there for a little bit of time, haven't you?
Yeah, I was there for almost 2 years. I haven't played in about a year and a half now.
When did you start playing UO originally?
I started in T2A, so late 1999, or I think, yeah, late 1999.
And is this the same account all the way through?
Same account, hasn't been banned yet for the things I've done.
So some of the things we've talked about has been definitely with Siege and only allowing one character. I disagree with you on this. Why do you only like one character per shard? Or at least for Siege?
Right. So this is a subject that I've talked about a couple times on the forums, and I'm in the minority of it, and I know I am. So I am of the belief that a lot of changes made to the game, like, well, let's just take the, you know, extra characters per account. First of all, it makes it so a single person can be more self-reliant. So it kind of waters down all of the professions because everyone can be everything. And it also provides a way to get into loopholes where you can switch people, right? You can log on one person, do something horrible, log on to another person, and pretend like that never happened, right? So in other words, with changes like this, like adding more additional character slots, I think people, not exclusively, it's just one of the things that does happen, is people start gaming the system instead of logging on and playing in an online world with their online personality. And that's the biggest thing I have, you know, the biggest problems I have with it. Yeah, so if everyone only had one character per account, the choices they would have to make when choosing their skills would determine their class, would determine how much they can contribute to everyone else who was logged on, who didn't have their skills. And say you wanted to be a blacksmith, for example, you know, you would be one of the most popular people in the game for everyone who has to replace all their gear all the time. Which goes into another discussion about insurance and replacing gear, but I don't think we need to get into that right now.
What's been your biggest theft in game?
My biggest theft?
Not even like the biggest theft. The thing that you like either cherish the most, or you know, like I have my one item, and it was somebody I've been was going after for months.
Okay, so. These are kind of two separate answers that kind of answer the same question. I think because I have a website, because I have screenshots of in-game items, I find myself more attached to the screenshots in my site than I do the in-game stuff for some reason. But so for that reason, when I think about items, I think about the stories behind the items. And like when I think about the best steal, it'll probably have to be the biggest theft, right? It wasn't a single item, but it was an ongoing theft. Episode 229, for people who want to log on, just go to uothief.com, go to the misadventures, scroll down a little bit, you'll find episode 229. It's part of a 12-parter steal. The longest steal that I've ever tried or heard of. But, and it's probably the thing that, for people who have read the stories, this is the thing I think I'm going to be most remembered for, if I am remembered at all. Basically, on the first week on Siege, I found out where the biggest blue guild / alliance rolled for the Power Scrolls. And I found out that they did champion hunts every single morning right at server up. So after I figured this out, you know, it's still my first week. I still had to train all of my skills. I have my skills in my screenshots. You can see how pathetic I am when I first started. But so when I was ready to steal, after I checked it all out, I found out who was protector, who were the tamers, who usually showed up every day. And so when I wanted to steal, I would get into position. I would log in the night before, get into Wraith form, get some invisibility items, get all the gear that I needed right, put everything I didn't want to lose, put that away, go to the location where they would roll for their scrolls, and then I'd log out. And then by this time, I knew exactly what time they would get there. So I would sit at my computer looking at the clock, waiting for the exact minute that I found out. I'd log in, and their entire guild would be all around me. I'd be in the middle of their entire guild. So after that, I just find out the right times to take what you want and try not to get caught. And I would wait in between the times that I stole. I would wait maybe a week, a month, a couple months, just so they wouldn't be too suspicious of missing scrolls. Right. So by the end, I had roughly, I think, 20 to 30 of their scrolls before, you know, I was found out. So that was really fun. And those are the steals that I like, right? Some people criticize thieves for being, you know, you don't really, you just get lucky, right? Oh, you stole something that was an artifact in someone's pack, and you just happened to snoop a random backpack, and you took it and you ran. You know, how much fun could that be? But the ones that I like are where you find people who have a pattern. You find out the best times to get what they have based on that pattern. And then you make a plan and then you execute that plan. Those are always the funnest steals. And that's not the only steal like that I've ever done. That was just the longest.
So basically what you're saying is any player who makes a pattern, watch out.
But you'd be surprised. Most, even the patterns, you know, if I find someone who has an item on them that I want, I make a mental note of it, of the location and especially the time of day. You'd be surprised how many people would show up at the same time every day. If they're not the next day then maybe the next week on that same day of the week at that time at that location. It's really funny how often that happens.
So a little bit off the topic of UO, what's your favorite music and band?
My favorite music and band. I am, well, okay. These days I usually only listen to either hip hop or slow jams. I'm one of those guys.
Hip hop, huh?
Yeah, not rap. Not really rap. I just something with a beat that sounds good. But I'll listen to other music, you know, I'm open to other music.
And your favorite group or band?
Oh, favorite singers. I don't know. Anyone popular? I like.
So you like, like Ryan Seacrest Top 40?
Maybe. No, I don't know. I'm not a music fanatic, so I don't know anybody. Pick anybody mainstream. Rihanna, Eminem, you know, not Justin Bieber.
It's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Favorite TV show?
Right now?
Sure.
Isn't everyone's favorite TV show Game of Thrones?
Is what?
Game of Thrones on HBO, come on. No?
Dude, some of us aren't loaded rich and don't have HBO.
Oh. You should check it out. I'm sure everyone else who's listening knows about how good Game of Thrones is. It's so awesome. Besides that, I would say my favorite shows have been recently Dexter, Breaking Bad.
Dexter is pretty sweet.
Yeah, Breaking Bad and Walking Dead.
Any movies you've seen lately that is pretty interesting, or?
Oh, geez, I haven't seen a movie in a long time. Gosh. I can't even remember the last movie I've seen in a theater.
Favorite book, or do you read?
I read a little bit. I can't think of one off the top of my head. But the only fiction I read is, you know, it is kind of high fantasy stuff.
You have a favorite podcast, obviously, besides UO Insider?
Oh, I listen to all kinds of podcasts, like a lot of video game podcasts. Nintendo World Report, they have one called Radio Free Nintendo. I really like that one. Even though I don't play video games anymore, I still pay attention. Another one are Invisible Walls. There's a, what's it called? There's a bunch of podcasts on crosstalk.com, CrossTawk, that have an entire range of different podcasts. There's one called, Box Office Poison, where they talk about the movies that are out right now, and they also talk about one person picks a movie for everyone else to watch, and then they talk about that in each podcast. So I like that too. I don't listen to political podcasts. I hate politics. I don't listen to...
You mean you just can't get along then?
I don't know. I like politics. I don't like politicians.
If you were to choose a party, who would you choose?
Okay, well, for the record, I'm a registered independent, but if I had to choose one, I would probably be liberal. Socially liberal, fiscally moderate, I call myself.
So with UO as a whole, where do you see it going in the next few years, whether it's free-to-play or, you know, merging shards, etc.?
Yes to all of the above. You know, this is just me. I hope it would go to a free-to-play model. This is just me as a player, not the one counting, you know, counting their subscription numbers and pennies and dollars and things like that. But, I mean, it seems to me, for what it's worth, that it's the what makes UO really great is when you have a lot of new players. And new players aren't going to come to a game that has 14-year-old graphics. I mean, that's just, to put it bluntly.
No matter what depth is in the game.
Right. I mean, they might like it once they get there, but you can't get them in the door if it's not attractive, you know. So I think free-to-play might work. It might not. But as far as merging servers, okay. So this always comes up on U-Haul, on Stratix, every once in a while, and I'm always in favor of it. And, I should say that this is beyond the big issue, which is housing, right? If they can't find a way to solve the housing problem of merging shards, then the rest of everything I'm about to say doesn't matter. But I remember specifically about a couple of years ago, this came up, and someone said they came from a smaller shard, and they didn't like the idea of merging shards because why, if they wanted to play on a more populated shard, they would have done it years ago. Why is it a good idea for them to be forced to play on a more populated shard? And, you know, my response to that is, they make sense, right? It's logical what they're saying, and they have a point. But my disagreement would be that it has to do with a game design philosophy kind of standpoint, where I think when you're in game and any chance for you to bump into someone else is a good thing overall, no matter what, you know, period. Even if it inconveniences you in the moment, even if you think it's bad or you get a little annoyed, I mean, this is why it's a multiplayer game. You know, again, going back to kind of my thoughts on multiple accounts, I like the idea of logging in and playing in an online world. You know, this isn't a single player game. You need to interact with other people. And the more chances of that happening, even if it's messing up with your hour that you set aside to hunt dragons, that should be part of the experience. And I mean, I don't know. I like the multiplayer in MMO. And anything to increase that is very good, in my opinion.
Do you think the game should be on store shelves? I mean, there was a topic this week from a user, and it's been popped up, you know, hundreds of times about the game appearing on store shelves. You know, I definitely set my view on it. What's yours?
Well, if everything was free and in a perfect world, then sure, right? It can only be positive and not negative. But from what I've heard, from what's been posted, you know, there is the issue about shelf space, and it's really expensive. And there's a lot of meetings and phone calls about people trying to decide with the retailers, the physical stores, trying to decide which games take up shelf space and things like that. And Ultima Online as a 14-year-old game is a hard sell in those conversations. So, sure, I mean, of course, you would want it to be on store shelves, but I don't think it's practical.
Well, that's even boiling down to, you know, anybody who's gone to Walmart or any of the big box stores lately, and you look at the PC game section, there isn't really there because DLC is pretty much taking over the industry via stream or via direct to downloads.com, something like that. So obviously advertising that way is not going to work. TV definitely won't work.
Right. Let's take this in the other direction. You know, whenever I see a thread like that, I always think, you know, of course it would be great to have it on store shelves, but it would also be great to have commercials. It would also be great to have, you know, posters and banners. Let's have a blimp that has some advertisements, you know. It doesn't. Let's fly it around the world, you know. But it just, you have the practicality of all this. Sometimes it breaks down.
How much do you think UO Hall or UO Forum's general form reflects on UO players? I mean, I've ran into plenty of people who have no idea what either website is.
I have not have had that experience, but I actually don't know if the UO Hall population is a direct representation or a semi-accurate of the overall population.
We're in
of,
deep.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe not. That's my answer.
What are some favorite websites that you visit on a daily basis besides anything UO related?
ESPN. I'm a huge baseball fan. Go Giants. What else do I visit? TeamLiquid.net. Sweet. StarCraft 2 website. It's a great website.
Yeah, talk about StarCraft with me. I know you're a pretty big fan of that.
I'm a fan, but not a player. I played the original one, like, all the time. Just for fun, not competitively.
Do you dress up in, like, StarCraft gear as you watch the videos, or...?
Oh, yeah, all the time. But, I
touched myself with the crystals.
No, well, I am a fan of it. I was thinking about, you know, making a StarCraft 2 website, but I don't have enough time for that. But I just, over this is recent, maybe last fall, I guess with the release of StarCraft 2, I started thinking about the whole, for people who don't know, StarCraft 1 was huge in Korea. It's like a national sport. It's like, it's up there with baseball, you know, for what sports they watch on TV. And I guess with StarCraft 2, I just got interested in it and started following all the major tournaments. Everything is streamed live online and things like that. And I just started in fact, right now, probably at this very second, there's a huge event going on in Columbus, Ohio, called MLG, Major League Gaming. And they have a huge StarCraft tournament going on right now. So I need to finish this up so I can start watching again. Is what I'm saying, basically.
So your site is uothief.com, and it's been around how long now?
It's been around, I think, about 5 years, coming up on the five-year anniversary.
How many views do you get?
I get...
Just by curious.
Yeah, I get an average of about 250,000 page views a year and about 50 to 100 unique users on a day where there no new content has been added, right? It's just the existing content that's there. It's UO-related. People come to read these UO stories and learn, you know, information about thieves.
Who keeps it running besides you? Or is it just you?
It's just me. It's just me. It's just a hobby project for me, basically. And, like, you know, like I said, I haven't been playing Ultima for about a year and a half. But I still maintain my website. And I'll still continue to add to it if anyone else wants to send me a story. If there are any other thieves out there listening that have taken screenshots of their steals and they want me to post it up, because if I post it on my site, I could pretty much guarantee you that it's going to be read. But the reason I do it is because, you know, anybody who's into art, anybody who's created something kind of knows what I'm talking about, that there's no point in doing it if no one else reads it or if no one else sees it, if it's a painting or something, right? So, I mean, that's my motivation for sticking with it through this time because I like what I created. And I figure the longer that it remains relevant, the more people will see it. So there you go. You know, for the record, I don't make any money off of any of it. You know, if you go to the site, I have no ads or anything like that. The only people who make money off of it directly is, you know, GoDaddy when they reach into my pocket once a year. And I guess you could say EA makes money off of it indirectly. For getting, you know, keeping people interested in their game, things like that.
So with your character name in-game, where did it come from?
My character name in-game, and also I should say there are other Chad Sexytons out there in Ultima Online and in other games. And, you know, none of us copied it from one another. We all got it from an episode of The Simpsons. It was just a guest character, I think, in one episode. I always thought the name was funny, so I used it. And apparently a lot of other people liked the name, too, and everyone else used it, too.
Just in case anybody was wondering, it is the episode called The Blender Years. It's the fifth episode of The Simpsons' 13th season on Fox Network. Aired December 9th, 2001. So what was your character names before that, then?
My very first character was my miner. Right, because back in 1999, if you went to Stratix, and Stratix did exist back then, and if you asked what's the best way for a new player to make money? They say to go mine ingots and sell them to blacksmiths. So that's what I did. And her name was Special 69. And then I made a thief named Poet, which later turned into my mage. And I think my third character was Chad.
So if you were to create a 13th month of the year, what would you call it?
Oh, what a random question. I would call it... I don't know. I have no idea. You got me.
Do you speak any other languages?
I wish I did. I don't. I took, I think, Spanish a couple times.
It's bad when you can't even remember what language you took.
Well, that was back in high school. That was like a while ago. I've never tried to speak another language after that.
If you were to take a month to travel anywhere, where would you go?
I don't know. Part of me wants to say the obvious answer, like Europe. Maybe somewhere more exotic.
I said Fiji, but the problem with Fiji, if you guys look it up on Travelocity or any of those websites, you can only find 5-day packages. It takes 2 days to fly there, and then you get to stay for a day, and then it obviously takes 2 days to fly back. So you get to spend a whole entire afternoon, and yet they still want you to rent a hotel. So I don't.
And how much are they charging you?
Like $5,000.
Sounds about right.
So Truman was a liar, basically.
To go to Fiji?
Yeah. Liar.
You don't believe that he was going to drive to Fiji?
No. Well, I mean, he could have. See that. Sure. They would have made it for him. It's a sweet movie, by the way.
Yeah. You know, I didn't appreciate it on my first viewing. I watched it again. I think it's amazing.
Favorite old school movie? Like within that era? I mean, obviously we just talked about you haven't seen the movie, but
going well, back. I love movies from the 80s. So anything.
So like
Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters. Goonies. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Some of the Star Wars movies. Even though that was kind of early 80s, late 70s. Yeah, the early Steven Spielberg stuff.
No Fight Club or anything like that?
Oh, I like that too. That was a little later, wasn't it? It was like 90s.
Well, obviously, yeah. But
so, I like the...
You're the one who picked the era, not me.
Yeah. Oh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie, the first one. Amazing.
Favorite cartoon as a kid?
Oh, I have a lot of favorite cartoons.
Sorry, this is sounding like a Cupid.com interview.
Yeah, I know. I'm single right now. And
dancing in the rain and getting caught. Or sorry, like drinking pina coladas and getting caught in the rain.
Yeah, long walks on the beach, sure. All that stuff. Favorite cartoon, I don't know. DuckTales?
DuckTales is pretty bitchin'.
Tailspin, Disney Afternoon, Amazing Afternoon.
Anybody remember Darkwing Duck?
Of course I do.
So if you were to tell UO players one thing, what would it be? Obviously with you not being in game, I mean, reflecting that side.
I would tell them to remember that it's a multiplayer game. You know, I can't tell you over the years, right? I actually despise every change that's been made to the game where it turns the game more into a single-player game. And that's not why I originally signed up to play the game. That's not why I logged in to play the game at all. And I'm wondering if I'm just weird or if other people, you know, the sensibilities of the population as a whole is just so much different than mine. But, yeah, just remember... This is a multiplayer game, so let's try to interact with other people, in-game or out.
Well, again, thank you, Chad, for joining us. You know, definitely give us a plug again on your website. What is UO Thief, and where can they find everything?
Right, so you can find UO Thief at uothief.com. You should go follow me on Twitter, @UO Thief on Twitter. What else do I need to plug?
are you a comedian on Twitter? What's the deal? I mean, do you write anything witty?
I've only signed up for Twitter like last month when I was updating the site.
Do you tweet when like you're eating a sandwich? I mean,
no, not at all. Yeah, so if you subscribe to me on Twitter, there's going to be a bare minimum of random comments, right? I limit my tweets to updates on the site, new stories on the site, and I started this thing about a month ago that I'm calling the Daily Misadventure Reread, which basically I highlight one of the 600-plus stories on the site. I highlight one of those, post a link to it for everyone else who's following me to read again. Right, so this is, you know, just to call more attention to it, and another incentive for, again, other thieves out there. If you want to put your story on my site, it's going to be there for forever. I don't plan on ever closing the site, and I might, highlight your story again for more people to read.
First, just want to say thank you to Chad Sexington for stopping by this week. Again, thank you guys so much. Check out uopodcast.com. The content will be updated this week. Hopefully by tomorrow we'll have everything up. Again, sorry I'm a bit tired this week. Thank you guys for stopping by. We'll see you next week.